Welcome everyone. This is January 4th, 2024. This is Dr. Will Tuttle and we are now live with our first Thursday of the month, World Peace Meditation Gathering Satsang. And Mel and I are now in Hippocrates Health Institute here in West Palm Beach, Florida. And it's great to be here. I want to thank you all for joining us. And for those of you who don't remember or are new or whatever, this is not a forum so much for debating and so forth, or it's more of a meditative time. We focus on the vegan message of compassion for all living beings and the inner evolution that we're all on an adventure, I guess you could say, on an adventure of awakening to ever more conscious and wise ways of looking at the world. And I think going vegan is one of the key elements of that, because if we're going to insist on killing animals, we're already in many ways shutting down our inherent compassion and kindness. And so that's critical to the whole thing, but there's much more to it than that. And that's one of the main points, is that going vegan is a great first step, but it's definitely not the last step. A lot of people have this idea that if we go vegan, then, okay, I'm done, I'm perfect, now everybody else has to change, not me. And so I think the whole idea here is that we, in many ways, going vegan, we're just starting the very first mile of a 1,000-mile journey, and we're getting off on the right foot. Or as my old Zen teacher say, who was in vaudeville, he said, never say you want to get off on the right foot, because you never start on your right foot. You always start on your left foot. I guess if you're an acrobat like him, he said, you always start on your left foot. So don't ever tell anybody to start on the right foot. That's the wrong foot. But anyway, so the underlying idea is that we really appreciate all of you, and we wish you all a very happy new year and a year of making an impact that you feel is beneficial on the world, and learning and growing and contributing as best we can. And I really think it's important also to cultivate this basic idea that what is ahead of us is good. What is ahead of us is fantastic and wonderful. That the future that we're facing is bright. And I know that, you know, in many ways we say, no, it looks pretty bad out there and it's getting worse every day. and perhaps on some certain level that's true, but we have to have a bigger view, I think, of things. The movie is far bigger than we probably realize. And so I think it's really important to have this larger view, to realize that every day we have a wonderful, positive future that's beckoning for us, not only individually, but collectively. And that we're on a path of awakening. We're on a birthing adventure, really. And so when we're birthing, we're giving birth, sometimes there's a lot of struggle and so forth, perhaps. But it's all part of a larger movement of growth and transformation, and the light shining ever more brightly and revealing things that are perhaps uncomfortable and are perhaps painful to behold. But nevertheless, we're all interconnected, and it's this interconnectedness and the underlying understanding that our life is essentially not a material thing. It's not just this one material interaction that we have with other objects out there that we're somehow negotiating with, that we are consciousness that is eternal, and was never born or will never die, and will never die, in the sense that we're not just this object that was born and will die. We're what makes this possible. And that gives us, I think, a much more valid foundation for understanding our life. All right, so, and to see that animals are the same, in a sense, that they're also manifestations of the same life. And so all of us are aspects of this beautiful divine life on this beautiful earth. So we like to start with a meditation that's a little bit longer than the one we do on the third Thursday, and then just go ahead and open it up for any questions you have or concerns that you have, or comments or victories or whatever you'd like to share. This is really a time for all of us to share. And we can also go ahead and not only have a discussion, but you know, I can share some things that have been coming to me over the last month as well. And Madeline is right here with us and is part of the gathering. She's sitting like literally 1 foot away from me right here. we're not a little, that's her hand. So everybody's waving. Okay. And she's doing the meditation of tatting. Do you know what tatting is, anybody? She does a lot of tatting on this. Last year she was knitting. She made, I think probably, I don't know, 100, she made 120 pairs of wrist warmers and sold every single one of them. And now, you know, as the months went by, but now she's doing tatting, which is like basically lace making, like when you see doilies, you know, they just making these, tying these little knots.
Bookmarks.
Yeah, they're bookmarks, actually. She says they're bookmarks. So when you get a book, you got to get a bookmark. So she's working hard using this special, very fine thread. Oh, here's one. This is one she just finished. Can you see that? I don't know if you can see it, but.
That's too slow. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Butterfly.
This is the butterfly. And, yeah, she just finished that one. Yeah, they're like incredible. Look at this. I mean, they're incredibly, like, each time, like thousands of tiny knots. And you can't even believe it. I don't really know how she does it. But, it's great. So that's happening. And she's right next to us. So she, what are you working on now? Another butterfly?
Yeah.
Yeah, another butterfly.
Another column.
So butterflies are the cross-cultural symbol of transformation. When I first got to San Francisco, way back in 1979, I somehow ran into this woman, Steve Ann Auerbach, who wanted to make a book, one of those big, huge books, like a coffee table book on butterflies, and that she was going to make a book proposal and submit it to one of the big publishers. And somehow I got enrolled in creating that whole book proposal for her. And it was quite an adventure. And I learned all about butterflies it's really amazing. Butterflies are enormously powerful cross-cultural symbols of transformation. The number one symbol. And it's so neat because I think sometimes as humanity, we're in the messy stage between the caterpillar stage. You all know the story, I'm sure. The caterpillar and the butterfly, and the whole idea is that when a caterpillar, which is basically living his or her life in sort of a very kind of with blinders on and just consuming without any other motive, it seems like, except to consume. And then at some point, the inner wisdom of the caterpillar just kicks in, and the caterpillar just stops doing that and turns his or her attention within and just starts creating this beautiful chrysalis and then begins to transform into something else. And there's certain cells within the caterpillar that lead the process. Those are called by biologists the imaginal cells, and they're different. They're like strange cells that emerge in the body of the caterpillar that are actually butterfly cells. And I'm sure the other cells think they're crazy, you know, and they're not complying. They're not going along with the narrative at all. They're not into just eating. They're like doing something totally different. And so I like to think of us vegans as we're like the imaginal cells of the butterfly that is to come. And then, of course, the funny thing is that if you make the mistake of trying to see the process and open up a chrysalis, you know, halfway through, there isn't a little butterfly in there. There's just nothing but green goo that doesn't look at all anything like a butterfly or like a caterpillar. It's just a kind of a mess. And again, I think that's maybe an apt metaphor for where we are right now. We're in the green goo stage, maybe, and it's, it seems like everything's breaking down, and everything's confused, and there's chaos, and you can't trust anyone, and there's deception everywhere, and we don't know sort of who's on first or what's on second, or I don't know who's on third. But the whole idea is that, you know, we have this process that is perhaps happening. I feel that it is of human beings awakening out of the delusions of being fundamentally separate objects, competing with each other and dominating and consuming and exploiting, and coming into an awareness of our true purpose on this earth, which is a spiritual purpose to create beauty and to communicate and commune with the beauty around us and with each other and with the animals. And so that's, I think, part of what veganism really is all about. It's like the first step in that direction is to completely say, no, 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 I'm not going to eat and abuse and exploit and oppress other living beings. I'm going to refrain from that as much as possible. But then that's the structure up above, but then we need to put in the foundation underneath it, which is where meditation comes in. And I think a lot of other things, breath work perhaps is really important, and inner contemplation, and just each one of us in our own unique way connecting with our inner wisdom. So, all right, so let's go ahead and have our meditation time together, and feel free to, however you'd like, either you can leave your, it might be easier to turn off your cameras, but you can leave them on, you know, it's really up to you. I'll have mine on here. And I hope you can hear me okay. If there's any problems going along, feel free to leave a message in the chat we have, and I'll keep my eye on that. And also, feel free to raise your hand, maybe afterwards, which is down in the, where it says reactions at the bottom if you're on your computer, or press *6 on your phone. That's another way to do it. All right, so let's just go ahead and have our meditation time. I already don't miss the piano as much because we've already had to miss it already once or twice. But we can kind of imagine there's a little music in the background. So let's go ahead and just begin our time of meditation together and connect with our breathing and giving thanks for each other, for the inner light that is shining right now in our heart, the inner light of wisdom and compassion that is our true nature, that is guiding us every day to unfold a life of creativity and fulfillment and understanding and healing, and to being part of the transformation of human consciousness on this earth. So we just take time to give thanks right now for the process that is happening within us and within our life. And we give thanks for everyone who has been in our life in any way, because everyone who's been in our life, whether they've been our teachers, or even if they've been antagonists or opponents, perhaps in some way, whatever it is, it brought us to this point right now where we are. And at a deep level, I think we can feel that where we are right now is fantastic. At a deep level, it's where we're meant to be. And so we can give thanks for all of our relations, even for those dimensions of our past, or what we believe to be our past, that was difficult, that there are lessons, and we give thanks for those, and we give thanks also for the love and kindness and appreciation and wisdom that have been bestowed on us by friends and neighbors and relatives and authors and writers and movie makers and those who have gone before, who have founded religions, or who have, by their example and by their efforts, have helped to create not only an outer manifestation of spiritual wisdom through various institutions of religion and spirituality, but have also contributed to the inner dimension of consciousness, the truth field, or the noosphere, the whole thought field around the earth that is created really by our thoughts, feelings, and aspirations, that we can contribute to and that we can uplift and we can affect. So we know that on many levels, what we are is far more than just a physical body, that we are consciousness that is essentially eternal. And so we take a moment now to allow our minds to quiet down and to let go of any thoughts of the past that we were involved with in our activities earlier today, and enter more fully into this present moment, into this community and this group, and into our own inner sanctuary of consciousness where we dwell always in unity with the source of our life and with the loving space of awareness within which everything unfolds and where we have the power to respond to every situation and bring the highest dimension of understanding and awareness to every unfolding situation in our life. So let's take a moment now and just imagine the light of eternal consciousness that is shining at the heart of the universe and that is shining at the core of all being, the infinite light that lights up all the suns and stars, the light that is not a physical light, but is the eternal spiritual light of awareness and infinite life. And know that that light is shining in every cell of our being. It is shining in our heart and in our mind and in all of our affairs and relationships. And that this light is ever present as an ally and as a guiding wisdom that is our true nature. And we see this light just filling up our entire physical body. You can see it kind of coming down through the top of our head and just washing down through our head and through our neck and through our shoulders, and just streaming down through our entire body, through our upper body, through our upper arms, and streaming out through our hands and fingers, and down through our entire torso and into our hips and down through our legs and streaming out of our feet. Just feel our whole physical body as a stream of this divine, eternal light that is our true nature beyond birth and death, and that it vivifies not only the physical cells of this instrument that we are using for a few decades here, but that it vivifies a conscious awareness that is what we are beyond being a physical entity. And so we just allow this awareness now to take root in our consciousness, that we are beings of light, that all beings, all the human beings, all the animals, many non-visible beings, all beings are manifestations of this one light, and that there is essentially an infinite harmony within everything. And this harmony is the beautiful music that we can tap into, that sings in the cells of our body and in our bloodstream and in the marrow of our bones. We can hear it perhaps in the forests and in the prairies and out on the water and the ocean. There is music of life all around us and within us. And this, the light and this vibratory awareness, it goes through all the different colors, it goes through all the different musical tones, that this vibration can be continually clarified and purified and raised to higher and higher octaves so that we dwell in a state of peace and equanimity and harmony without judgment and blame, because we have an understanding that at a deeper level all beings are ripening in their due time, and that even situations that appear to be destructive and devastating are actually manifestations of a higher power that is ultimately victorious, because that it is the only power. And so we especially give thanks for all the beings that we refer to as animals, and especially those who are right now suffering in factory farms and slaughterhouses and in research laboratories and in entertainment facilities and so forth, sending them our love and our support, knowing that they will be escaping from their physical bodies and relieved of their suffering. And we also, we hold them in love, and we apologize for, on behalf of humanity, for our violence towards them, our delusion and misunderstanding. And we also send our love to all human beings who, in every direction, especially those who are suffering in war, who are being dominated and exploited in various ways, and we, especially those who are transitioning from this plane to the next planes, we send our support and our love. And we realize that this in many ways is an important part of our calling on this earth, is to radiate loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace in all directions, in all of our relations, as best we can, and to purify our emotions and thoughts in our physical bodies so that we can be vehicles for radiating loving kindness to all living beings, and compassion to all living beings, that their suffering may be relieved and ignorance may be quenched, and to connect more deeply with the mudita, the infinite joy that is always bubbling like a bubbling spring at the core of our being, to connect with this joy and allow the joy in our heart to radiate out through all of our words and gestures to each other, to others, that this life is a beautiful opportunity to learn and grow and to connect with the essential unity and joy of being, and to allow that to heal those who are suffering under misunderstanding. So we radiate joy in all directions. And finally, we connect with the inner peace that is always shining in our heart, the peace of understanding that we are not separate from the source of our life, and that we may be here to learn lessons, we may be here to give guidance and to receive guidance, but ultimately what we are can never be damaged. That we exist as the infinite sky, which can never be ultimately harmed by whatever clouds come along. That we exist in a completely transcendent dimension. And so we can bless the clouds, enjoy the patterns of clouds, and do our best to shine the light of kindness and compassion in all of our relations. The old saying from Pabasambhava, when our view is as vast as the sky, our behavior is as fine as finely ground flower, that we become more and more conscious of every thought, word, and deed to bring every aspect of our life into alignment with the understanding that comes when we awaken out of the delusion of being a fundamentally separate self. So breathing together, and with every exhalation, radiating love, and breathing together with every exhalation, radiating compassion to all living beings, and with every exhalation, radiating joy in all directions, and with every exhalation, radiating peace to all living beings, and know that love, compassion, joy, and peace, freedom and truth and creativity and abundance and gratitude live always at the very core of what we are. So let's just take a moment to savor our time together and to savor this moment that we have on this beautiful earth. Whatever went before and whatever will come, we're here right now, and we send love, compassion, joy, and peace into all beings in the past and into all beings in the future that we are related to. Abiding in this awareness, abiding in the silence that always shines between the thoughts, underneath the thoughts, beyond the thoughts that come and go in our minds. There is always the silence, which has the potential, the pure potential of liberation. So let's finally close our meditation with a final sense of gratitude for each other and for the whole vegan movement, for everyone who's working to help bring healing into our world. And we give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. And now I like to play a little music. Mm-hmm. All right. So, great. I will go ahead and open it up for your questions and comments that you may have. Yes, Gino, you have your hand up there, so love to hear what you would like to articulate.
Thank you, Will. I can't say enough how beautiful that meditation was. I attend many guided meditations, and I never hear the full scope that you give, which means so much. And then I had a thought of if all these animal rights groups, let's say prior to a meeting or after a meeting or prior to an event or an action, if they got together and listened even to an audio of this particular one or anyone, and how much that would make a difference for that time with them. I think that's just beautiful. And I also wanted to do a little update of what happened here in San Diego recently. And I'm heartened that a group of activists from different groups worked on this project and are still working on this project in San Diego together. Imagine that. And it's related to a rodeo that is happening soon in January in the baseball stadium called Petco Park, San Diego Padres.
Right.
Yeah. And so the team of activists has been meeting with the city council members. There's 8 or 9 of them, and going there each week and presenting their speeches and facts, and also showing videos of what goes on as the animals are out on, and the park and everything. And then hand in hand with that, we had an animal rights attorney that was going to court on our behalf. And I attended the last court date, and he was posing his arguments against attorneys from Petco Park and also from the rodeo. So he had a lot to combat there. Well, it turned out that the judge was in favor of having the rodeo go forward in January. So we did not win that effort. However, not long after that, the city council, we now have two members who are on board with us and are working to help us ban rodeos altogether forever in San Diego. And we brought to the fore in our later meetings that Los Angeles just passed that ban. So I think that put another little buzz in their ear. And I understand, too, that the videos we showed were very changing to their minds. So, and, you know, just to bring up the point, too, with rodeos, when these animals, before they come out in the park to do their what's so-called entertainment, they're prodded and poked and spurred and all of these things to make them angry and upset. And then when they get out there, they're in this mode. And then we see all of this, you know, the roping and all of that stuff. And if you think about it, if they didn't do any of that, there would be no rodeo. So they have to torture the animals in order to even have the rodeo, right? So that's I thought, a good point. But anyway, we are making progress, and I 100% believe we are going to get the rodeos banned. Not in time for the January rodeo, but after that, I think they're going to be gone. That's my update.
Thank you. That's such good news. Yay. Yeah, everybody clap. Thanks, Margie. I think, you know, the thing is that ban is in, I'm assuming, is in not just the city of San Diego, but the whole county. Is that, or is it just the city?
No, it's just the city, because
city
we have rodeos outside in the county in Poway and Lakeside. So, yeah, we don't have jurisdiction there.
Right. So, you know, it's, but they do have a rodeo in the city normally every year. Is that true?
No, this was the first one. And of course, our fears were that they were, if they succeeded, that it would be an annual event.
I see.
But that's not going to happen. I already know this. So.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, rodeo has got to be one of the most gratuitous forms of violence toward these beautiful animals who are basically gentle and don't want to be messed with at all. And it's really, I'm so glad you're doing that, because when you look behind the curtain of rodeos, you see the horses are fitted with bucking straps that just, they yank them really hard up right underneath their genitals, and they're in total pain. That's why they're bucking. And then they have these guys that are hidden with electroshock prods, and they zap them. It's like, you know, and you got to remember this. Electroshock prod is not like getting a shock. It's like getting stabbed with a knife. They're just pure pain, unbelievable pain. And so these guys, they have these electroshock prods, and they're just zapping the cows when they go out, the calves when they go out. They zap them. They zap the horses, and they're not supposed to do it, but they do it. And everything about it, you know, it's just, and what they'll say is, well, you know, these animals are all going to be killed anyway. They're all going to end up in the slaughterhouse anyway. So, you know, it doesn't hurt anything. We're just going to, you know, give them a little bit of running around time before they're killed. And I think, you know, again, that kind of a rationalization, what does that do to us as human beings? I mean, it makes us into demons, really. I mean, we're like we're getting pleasure out of watching these other living beings be really painfully abused. And if you look at like something like calf roping, where the calf is running full speed, and then they throw a rope around the neck of the calf and jack it tight, and the poor calf just flips over, and they jump on and tie the three legs together and like jump up like they're heroes, you know, like they're supermen, you know. And the poor calf is there with a half broken or sometimes fully broken neck. Some of the horses die because their necks are broken. I mean, all kinds of things happen all the time. Very often they don't have proper veterinary care at these rodeos. I mean, the whole thing, the rodeo should be shut down so long ago, you know, everywhere. It's really a holdover, you know, but it's part of the mentality that's pervasive in our society, and that it trains us, really, from the time we're little kids, if we're going to these things. to see animals as objects, to be eaten, to be used, and so forth. So I think, you know, you can't really pass the city council something to make everybody vegan, but you can do these kinds of things, and that helps people think about it, at least. I think, you know, it's great. It's a great effort. The more we can do this, and we've been working on, the animal rights movement has been working on circuses and rodeos and fur and some of these, things, you know, vivisection, and to be able to do it more and more, even in rural areas, it would be good, you know, so, that's great. That's great work. So
thank you, Will. And also, just to mention, even the humans in the rodeo, how many times have they, you know, fallen and broken backs and everything else? So even humans.
Right. Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking also of the bullfights over in Europe and Mexico too. It's a very strange thing. So, and then of course there's still cockfights and dogfights, and there's all these other things going on in the United States and in other places too. So it's a culture, you know, the best thing I think is to do both things, you know, do like you were saying, you know, meditations to help us, send love even to the perpetrators. I think it's important to realize these people, they've also been wounded, you know, no one would get pleasure out of seeing the suffering of others if they hadn't been abused, I think, at a younger age. And so we're all abused. People are wounded. And so for us to just show that we care, for animals and for everyone, and it's time just to move on and celebrate things. Like we went to, have you heard of Shen Yun? It was really beautiful. The Shen Yun, it's the people from these Chinese,
yes,
dancers and acrobats. They had a full orchestra. This was in Fort Lauderdale a few days ago. And really just celebrating the amazing ability of human beings to sing and dance and do backflips and forward flips and tell stories, and really for the joy of freedom. And there's really a strong spiritual message actually in the Shen Yun. They have 8 troops, I guess, full troops of Chinese dancers and acrobats and orchestras putting these on around the world continually. And they have a new show every year. So wherever you are, you know, if you have a chance to go to a Shen Yun show, I think it's really great to support it. And the tickets are pretty expensive, but to me it's like a donation, because they're really doing the best they can to raise awareness. And I know these people. These people are in the Falun Dafa movement, which is an ancient Buddhist meditation movement. It's a relatively new movement, but it's based on the Buddhist teachings. And they have been really repressed in China. And they've been arrested. They've been even, their organs have been harvested and things. I mean, they've really been oppressed. And so they meditate. I think they're probably vegetarians and vegans. And they're just creating a beautiful, loving show to help raise awareness. And it's like the opposite of a rodeo, you know, which is like glorifying violence and domination, exploitation of animals and so forth, where there's injury and violence. And like the opposite of that is the Shen Yun, which is about the light and about beauty and harmony and working together and caring and kindness. The very uplifting messages. I mean, if you watch it, there's lots of little stories within the whole presentation that are all spiritual teaching. Some of them are ancient stories from China, from their culture. Some of them are newer ones. But they're all very uplifting and inspiring. And I think that's the kind of thing we can all be part of. You know, we can all, like Buckminster Fuller said, you know, it's the best thing we can do is to try to build a more, to build something that makes something that's obsolete, and makes something that's violent obsolete. And so that's good. So I think it's good to make a statement to stop these violent things. But another thing is to do something, create something beautiful, like you do, create beautiful music or create music that helps people to think about things. Because we can all be creative. And I think the best thing in many ways for us is to be creative and try to support each other in things that are uplifting.
So thanks, Will. One quick note on music. Yeah, I do music. And my friend Dave Giardino, who is here today, David, and I have a group, a duo. We call ourselves the Esteemed Onions. And you know, what kind of name is that, right? And but he and I increasingly are doing music for social justice, and we have many ideas coming down the pike that we'll be posting, especially in the World Peace Facilitators page on Facebook.
Oh, good.
So, David, you might just say hi there, to give your presence here.
Hello, hi, I'm here. I'm the other onion. Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Will.
Great to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And that was a great meditation. And I really agree with what Gene said. It would be great if all groups, before they did anything, any actions, would do a meditation. You know, it's ecumenical, nothing about, you know, anything but meditation. Just use that. It would do wonders, I think, for everyone's focus. And there would be far less of this infighting and all this other stuff that's going on, that's kind of undermining such a really good, not just a good movement, but an important, crucial movement.
Right, yeah.
We're trying to do something pretty incredible here, a near impossible. And so we need to support each other. So yeah, definitely. I hope that more vegans can take that on. Do it.
Well, thank you for saying that too. And it's planting a seed in me that maybe I could create a sort of a meditation for vegan groups to use. It would be that no one would object to, you know, just something that's focuses on the work that we're doing. We're not just doing physical, but we're working on raising consciousness, and that each one of us has the responsibility to do that for ourselves. And as we do that, we can support each other in a movement of more compassion for everyone. So thanks. That's a very interesting idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And oh, and give my regards to Hippocrates too. It's been a while since I was there, but
he's
a
great friend.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love their lunch, you know, their prefix lunch.
Great. Yeah. I mean, the food here is amazing. I should take some. I haven't taken any pictures. Usually I take pictures, but every day they have this spread of incredible organic, vegan, mostly a lot of sprouts, but then there's always prepared foods that are really good. So
still raw.
Right. Yeah. It's raw, but it's great. All right. Well, that's neat that you've been here. So anyone else? I think I saw a few other hands there at one point. Kelly, did you have your hand up? And I think Susan, maybe. Let's see. Or Kenny, you're waving. Do you have your hand up? Okay. You can unmute yourself. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
I can talk?
You can talk. All right. Go ahead. Yes.
First, I want to express my gratitude to being part of your group. And, you know, I know without having studied and read your book, I would not be a vegan, probably. I understand veganism on a deep level. I just want to express my gratitude for that. And just, I'll be short. The other thing that I'd like to talk about is that maybe my greatest spiritual teachers were my dogs and my cats. And I know I'm horrified beyond belief about how animals are treated and how many animals are killed. I mean, that is just, but on the other hand, I feel this deep love, like when my dog died or my cat died, how much love people have experienced with their dog and cat. And I don't know, they're just so special to me. I'm wearing my vegan shirt you gave me. But, you know, I extend that love to all animals. I just say one last thing. I've been a vegan 9 years and vegetarian 19 years. But I say this is amazing, is that the only time it took me 11 years ago, the first time in my life when I went to Gene Bauer's farm sanctuary, that I actually got to look into the eyes of a cow and a pig and and touch them. You know, it was just, I just eat like everyone for over 50 years. I just ate them and, you know, but it was I got to see, you know, like that they are the same as dogs and cats. And You know, I do want to also say, you know, remember Karen Davis, who passed away, founder of United Poultry Concerns. I've met her a few times. I'm sure you knew her, and she did a lot of work helping chickens, which are the most abused animals, and she killed them. Anyway, just offer my gratitude to her work, too.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Kenny. Yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to, you know, I think I did it last time. We had a moment of silence for Karen Davis. And she was a good friend of ours and a wonderful, tireless advocate. I've noticed that the advocates, the animal rights advocates who also operate sanctuaries seem to have the most, seem to have a lot of energy because they're living with, you know, she lived with chickens and turkeys and ducks. And she had them right there. And we visited her once on her, her sanctuary there. And it was so cool to see, you know, that, but she has, she had such a wonderful way of talking about, not only the beauty of these animals, because she really saw how each one has their own personality and so forth, but also articulating how important it is for us never to see them as objects, to see them as beings. We've been, as we traveled around the world, we've been so fortunate. I think a lot of Sandra Higgins, in Ireland, she's also a World Peace Diet facilitator and she's done tremendous work. And we went to her sanctuary in Ireland and she had animals in her house, a chicken, I think, and something else, maybe a turkey, and then other animals out. But she really said, they're not animals, they're people. They're just as much people as humans are. They're people. She said, don't ever call them animals. Call them people. They're people, just like we are. And that awareness, when you're living with people who are, you know, animals, and we call them animals, I think is really precious. And so one of the things I think is one of the greatest ways that we have of helping people to make the transition to veganism is sanctuaries, where people go, like you said, and look into the eyes of these animals and see them how they are, and not just in the restaurant or in the store, but as living beings who have interests, obviously. So the more, and especially if you can get children to go to these sanctuaries, I think children especially will be, whoa, I'm not going to eat bacon anymore. I just rubbed a pig's belly, and they get their parents to stop too, you know. So we're big fans of sanctuaries. They're really important and really helpful, I think, all in all. And so thanks for bringing that up. And let's see. So we have a few minutes. I noticed there is a question from Susan. Where do I think of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo? Yeah, I think that's a movement in Buddhism that is based on the Lotus Sutra, which is a really beautiful sutra. And the basic idea is if you recite this mantra with full devotion, you can attain enlightenment. And I think it's a good movement. I mean, all in all, from what I know about it, there's different branches of it. There's a number of different branches. When I was on the Global Walk for a Livable World, and we were walking from Los Angeles to New York City for the environment back in 1990, it was a totally vegan event. We had about 100 to 150 people walking, people coming and going. But there were three or four people from the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo tradition, and they would walk along and they beat a drum, and they went the whole way, and they were very dedicated to world peace and so forth. So I think it's like anything, you know. I mean, like any religious tradition, it has some that people that are more clear and devoted than others, and so forth. But I think the underlying teaching is good. I do have a friend, just to say, his name is Eddie. He lives in Los Angeles. He's pretty famous. Veggie Eddie, he calls himself, now he calls himself Kasho or Kasho Buddha. But he had he's a Nam-myoho Renge Kyo person, and he really says that he had a very profound enlightenment experience several years ago. And he is an absolutely avid vegan. I mean, he is so totally avid as a vegan. And so he's been, you know, going to the Nam-myoho Renge-kyo temples and really, like, in their face about they should all be vegan. You know, if they're really Buddhist, they should be vegan. And so he has been kicked out. They've kicked him out. They won't let him in. They say he's no longer allowed in. So if you ask him what he thinks about Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, he'd say, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, they say they're following Buddhist teachings, but they're not. They're eating meat. You know, they're eating dairy. They're not real Buddhists. You know, they're a bunch of bad people. So, but you know, on the other hand, you know, most religions do have people who are not vegans, and we're not that harsh on them. I guess he just thinks that, you know, these, because I guess he feels that they really, they wouldn't let him even give out literature. They wouldn't let him talk about it. They just said, no, you cannot bring this up. And so we've seen that happen. I've seen that happen even in Unity churches. You know, there was a guy, I remember the big Unity church in Detroit. It's so funny. It was actually Marianne Williamson. You know Marianne Williamson? Marianne Williamson was the minister of this big Unity church in Detroit. And there was a person we met. He was a friend of ours who was a vegan, and he wanted to just hand out vegan literature after the service. And she called the police, and she had him hauled away. She was like, no, you can't do that here. You know, so that's Unity. And Unity was founded by people like Charles and Myrtle Fillmore who were vegans. I mean, it was before the word vegan was invented, but they wouldn't eat meat, dairy, or eggs, and they really talked about, they had a Bible that didn't have any leather on it, and you know, they were really all about compassion for animals. So and the same thing like the Buddha, you know, the Buddha was the same way. He was really talking about compassion for animals, for all living beings. The monks were not supposed to eat meat. And that's what Vegietti says. You know, Vegietti, I mean, Kasho Buddha, he calls himself. He's telling the people in Nam-myoho Renge-kyo tradition, you shouldn't be eating animal foods. Come on. But they don't want to hear it. And I've seen this everywhere. I mean, if you go to Thailand, for example, the monks there eat a lot of meat. We've talked about this quite a bit. And that's not true in China. They're basically vegan. But Buddhist monks do eat meat in certain situations. So Tibetan Buddhists also, but in Thailand, it's really a lot. And it's kind of hard to talk to them because the monks are really looked up to. And it's, you know, Thailand is not really a democracy. It's a monarchy. And so you can be arrested and thrown in jail for saying anything critical of the king, and even possibly of monks, you could be thrown in jail. So people are a little bit, you know, a little concerned about saying anything too much. I know I was there and talked to local people about it. So again, it's that old idea that, you know, like I say in my new book, Food for Freedom, I talk about this, that, you know, the difference between spirituality and religion is that spirituality has a completely unified aim. It only has one aim, and that is spiritual awakening, to understand that what we are is not matter, what we are is consciousness, and to live that. There's one life living through all of us, and to understand that and live that. So it is undivided. It's completely, spirituality is undivided. But religion is always divided. It has, on the one hand, its whole goal and purpose is to spread the spiritual message, right? To spread this truth. The one life lives through all of us. Be kind and loving and wake up to the truth that what you are is eternal consciousness. That's basically, we understand that. We're all children of God, or however you want to put it. But then it has this other loyalty, which is it's a cultural institution, so it has to support whatever culture it's in. And if the culture, if everybody's eating animal foods, then it's divided. There's always this tension between the spiritual teachings and the actual practice of the religion. And that's the thing. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with this tension? And I think the more we can develop the understanding to live this, the more the religions become authentic. And we have to create religions, I think, also that go along with that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. You say at the beginning of the meditation that being vegan is just the beginning. Well, I beg to differ with that. I think unless you're vegan, there is no beginning. Because I don't care how spiritual you are, and people say, oh, well, we pray over our food or whatever, we do all these ceremonies, but there is no real beginning. It's the beginning and the end. Being vegan is the beginning and the end. And everything you do in the middle is wonderful. You know, whatever you can do in the middle. But I feel like, oh, being vegan is the most important thing I have literally done with my life. And I've done some good things with my life, but it's the most important thing I've done. Just being it myself, because I can see, just because I'm vegan, other people are influenced with it as well. But at least I am. At least I came to this planet to not do this terrible, I'm not participating in this horrible, horrible destruction, this horrible torture. And of course, I owe that all to you, Will. Okay. So.
Hi, Lily. But Will, I just want to say thank you for that response. I guess, you know, part of the bottom line is that I realized that I went to this event at their big Hawaii Community Center on Monday, and, you know, I had to put up with talking to people who want to talk to me through masks. And then at the lovely meeting in our local area, you know, there was like there was food, but there was almost nothing for me to eat. I probably violated my stomach a little bit. So, you know, and I noticed Julie is saying she does it herself. So it might be more a thing, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it by myself, not so much with their community because of their hypocrisy.
Right. Right. Thanks, Susan, and thanks, Lily, for that wonderful reminder. Yeah, I mean, going vegan is such a precious thing, and sticking with it through thick and thin, no matter what, and understanding what it is, to really live a life of kindness and compassion for animals and for each other. It's a beautiful thing. We're at our closing time here. It's been great. I like to really honor the 1 hour. Because I know we're all busy with 10,000 things, and it's been so beautiful to see you all and hear you and know that we're working together each in our own way to make a dent in this whole thing and to, as Lily said so well, animals are suffering, but it's as much as possible, it's not because of us. And so we're holding the high watch, really. For the animals and for future generations and being an example of how we can live happy and healthy lives. And even if there's only a few of us, that it's definitely possible. And that's something that I think is to be born here and to be able to get through all this conditioning and all the deception and to come out on the other side and to actually live it and continue to do that. Is a life well lived. So, really, my highest regards to all of you for sticking with this and doing the efforts that are coming through you, because each one of us is unique and each one of us touches others in ways that are very helpful. I think more than we ever know. We plant seeds more than we ever know. So let's go ahead and feel free to unmute yourselves, because we like to do this together and we can all hear each other and make this holy cacophony where we say our World Peace Diet closing prayer. And we'll go ahead and I think you all know what it is. If you don't, you'll learn pretty quickly. So here we go. Let's say it together on three. One, two, three.
Compassion
serves the earth
everywhere.
Good, again. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Okay, one more time. with feeling.
Passion circles the earth for all beings
everywhere. All right. Much love to all of you. Thank you so much for contributing.
Thank you, Will.
And have a wonderful month. We'll see you on the first Thursday of the next month for the meditation. Take care and go forth and multiply the message.
Bye.
Thank you. Much love.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Come home.
Thanks.
Thanks.